This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97th Annual Academy Awards, where nearly a billion people around the globe tuned in to a portion of the show. It started 7 p.m. Eastern, ended after 11 o'clock. Larry Richard, along with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Obviously, Paul, with your wake-up schedule, hard for you to watch those night shows. I hung in there till about 10, and Conan O'Brien in his first year hosting.
How did he do?
If you like Conan O'Brien, his sense of humor, I'm sure you liked it. If you didn't, it was, I'm a little partial. I still liked Billy Crystal when he would do those fantastic opens to the Oscars for many years. And then I think if you go old school, Johnny Carson and Bob Hope were the host. I mean, but after 97 years.
By the way, out of sheer boredom, I was tuning around and I found a Johnny Carson channel on my live TV feed, and I stopped and watched it, and there's Carson saying, tonight's guests include Bob Hope. And I thought, this Larry would love this.
Well, CBS Sunday Morning did one of those profiles because there's a new book about Johnny, and since he had hosted the Oscars, it aired, and I watched the whole thing. I was a big fan of Johnny Carson. Kind of got me in this business. He just made it look like it would be fun. And, of course, off camera, you know, at one point, he would have nightly 17 million people watch him, which is more than all three of the late night shows today.
Mm-hmm.
To combined. Give you some idea. Yeah, combined.
Yep.
To give you some idea how big a deal. So the Oscars have become, you know, it's really rare for a show to draw that many people, right? Sporting events, Super Bowl, World Series, those kind of things, but nearly a billion people. And the winners, top five categories, Best Picture, Anora, Best Actress is Mikey Madison from Anora. And then there's the Best Actor, Adrian Brody from The Brutalist. Best Supporting Actress, Zoe Saldana from Emilia Perez, and Kieran Culkin from A Real Pain. Best Supporting Actor. So you'll hear a lot of follow-up today from all the networks on the Academy Awards.
And you were saying earlier that the Best Picture winner was, that was expected.
Yeah, it was pretty much the odds-on favorite.
Okay.
And there's 10, you know, movies on that list. I only saw, and I love movies, three of the 10. And I'll check out Inura now since it's a winner. All right, this bridge story is really going to be an issue. It's closed indefinitely, right? So this is the bridge that goes over on the HOV lanes, Route 28, right?
Right. It's from the Veterans Bridge onto the Parkway North. And the work that they'll be doing is going to close Route 28 underneath there. They're actually not closed. There'll be lane restrictions on the northbound side of 28, only while the crews are working. Now, get this, Larry. They saw this small crack on inspection on Friday, and they say that small cracks near the top of support beams, you know, where the salt water comes down, that's not unusual at all and really not that serious. But what the crews did discover was a vertical crack in the pier column itself. They don't find them there typically. So they've closed that HOV lane that the column supports. And then they'll be peeling away the surface concrete to get a better look at it. This is all information, by the way, from the traffic maven, John Chumway, over at Channel 2.
John, I know.
It's a great report.
He sat in this studio for almost 16 years, and it was interesting. Every day he'd come home with his hard hat and his fluorescent vest.
No one knows traffic in this town better than John does. I mean, he knows the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, and everything else.
So entering Schenley Park, headed toward Oakland, there's a sign, Bartlett and Hobart Streets, that sums up what it's like to get from Squirrel Hill in the East End to Oakland. All bridges closed ahead.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to have an expert on coming up about these bridge issues. And this just adds to the agony, is HOV line. So that's closed.
And by the way, the time frame on getting this thing solved, once they find out what's going on, is right now not known. But if the pier can be repaired or if it needs to be replaced, it's going to have a lot to do with how long it takes. Replacement is complicated. That could take months. Hopefully they don't need to do that. Hopefully they can find a fix.
This is not good news for commuters that in any way, shape, or form go through that corridor.
Yep.
Ouch. And what else is going on in terms of looking at the lighter side, or is it? You know, we always try to find a story that people are talking about locally, talking about the Penguins just keep finding ways to lose. So they let Toronto score two goals in the last 55 seconds of the second period, yep, including with 0.1 seconds remaining after they had taken a lead being down 2-0, then found a way to lose in overtime.
Yep. The plus on this was Sidney Crosby passing Bobby Hull for goals on the all-time list. He's 18th now. And Gordie Howe for assists. He's now 10th on that list. And I think it's symptomatic of the kind of season that the Penguins have had. The Penguins have been not so good. They're in last place in the division. But Sidney Crosby is having one of the better, if not one of the best, years of his career. At age, what, 37?
Yeah, what a talent.
Wow.
He's all we got left. Because, you know, they had hoped this defenseman, Erik Karlsson, would help him.
Well, he made a big boo-boo yesterday.
He cost him a game yesterday.
Yeah.
Just a ridiculous gave up right at the last second, unnecessary. Coach kind of called him out without calling him out by name.
They fixed the power play this year. The power play is in the top 10 in the league, so they managed to fix that problem. But I would imagine, Larry, we're going to start to see players being traded.
Well, let's start. Yeah, they're
the rebuilding process.
They're going to gut this team.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let's dial back. This has been a long, long homestand. So February 22nd, they lost to the Capitals, lost to the Rangers the next day, lost quick road trip to Philly, then did find a way to win in overtime on the 27th against Philly, lost against Boston Saturday, lost against Toronto tomorrow. Now they go on the road for three games.
Yeah, and what, Tuesday they play where?
Tuesday they are in Colorado.
Okay.
The Avalanche.
That's a good team.
And
they have a player there, McKinnon, is lights out good.
Who are the 2025 Pirates? I'm going to head down to Bradenton today and find out.
Hey, it's a great question. I know that there's a lot of talk about an 18-year-old player who's making quite a splash.
We're going to go investigative down there. We're going to find out what's going on.
Actually, I was surprised to see you here this morning. I thought you would be there.
No, I'm going after, and then we'll do the whole show from Lecom Park Wednesday, and then they'll ship me back in a FedEx tin or something. Odyssey, I'm taking us with you wherever you go, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and what a weekend we had with high school basketball championships. Congrats to all the winners and all the participants in our team, because we are really proud of the work that's being done with our guys, right? You had Josh Roundtree, Dan Zangrilli, Paul Alexander, back-to-back-to-back games over the weekend, Paul. So it was pretty impressive.
And they're all award winners.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters recognized their work as being the best in Pennsylvania.
All right, international news. Pope Francis rested well overnight, fighting double pneumonia. The Vatican said that on Sunday, the pontiff, 88 years old, was now stable. He no longer required the use of a mechanical ventilation system to breathe. Also, the story of Ukrainian President Zelensky meeting with European leaders to talk about their support for his efforts against Russia. And tomorrow night, President Trump will address a joint session. This is not the State of the Union. This is just to outline his vision and where we've gone so far. Jefferson Parish cancels Fat Tuesday, Paul.
Wow, that's a big deal.
Because of weather.
Yeah, Jefferson Parish is the parish right next door to Orleans Parish. That's where the suburbs are, like Metairie and Kenner. I once lived there, and that's a big deal.
That's a very big deal.
I mean, some of the biggest parades are supposed to happen there tomorrow.
Threat of high winds, wind gusts of 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
So they're trying to work on a alternative. But if you're going to Mardi Gras, you want to be part of the parade. And, I mean, that's the whole big deal, right?
Yeah.
Fat Tuesday. So
pretty much everybody shows up for one of the big major parades on Fat Tuesday. There's several of them.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Oscars. A billion people. That's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. Why would they care, somebody might say? Few people have seen all the movies, too. But for some reason, there is interest. And MLB is considering to have Pete Rose posthumously removed from the ineligible list. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred considering a petition to have Pete Rose removed from that list, which means that he could potentially...
Right.
Be put into the Hall of Fame post his passing last year in September.
The background on that, an attorney for the Rose family is the one who's doing the petition with the Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
He can do that if he wants to, lift the ban, but the Hall of Fame is a separate entity, and they came up, in fact, with a separate rule, a Pete Rose rule, about permanent bans, so they would have to decide to lift that. I want to see what happens there.
And the Iditarod starts today in Fairbanks, Alaska. Beginning at 11 a.m., teams will take off from Pike's Waterfront Lodge every 2 minutes, passing under an arch before traveling to this river. This marks the fourth time Fairbanks has hosted the event. And
I wonder, do they say mush during that at all?
No, but I'm sure their minds go to mush after. I mean,
who wants to do that?
I don't know.
I mean, it takes a special kind of person to want to do that.
Yes, it does.
The dogs like it, though.
Do they?
Yeah.
Good for them. Mush. If you've ever been to an Iditarod, please call us immediately. And coming up, we're going to talk to a bridge engineer, about all the issues that we're having with the bridges around town, especially the new development over the week. Troubles with bridges. Instead of bridges over troubled waters, it's the opposite. Troubled bridges over everything here right now. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and we welcome Ken Harries, who's a professor of civil engineering at the University of Pittsburgh, talking about bridge repairs, of which there are many. Kent, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with what's going on with these bridges over the HOV lanes over 528 or Route 28 and 579. I mean, this over the weekend, I saw some video of the structure, these support structures that have deteriorated. And looks like they're closed indefinitely, so until they determine how they can repair or replace it, sounds like it's going to take a while.
Probably very likely, and regrettably, these things are, they do happen, and I'm afraid they're going to continue to happen. We've been neglecting maintenance for an awfully long time.
Ken, I was looking at a report earlier this morning that says that the support column that's in question here, the one that they're looking at closely, typically, they'll find some cracks at the top of a support column where you would get the salt leakage and that. But this, they say, is a long vertical crack in the column. Why is that a bigger problem?
I've not seen this particular column, and I'm not familiar with the report that you're referring to. So I'm a little bit reluctant to comment. But a long vertical crack could indicate a couple of different potential problems, including a load bearing issue. It is one thing, in which case, certainly out of an appropriate abundance of caution, PennDOT needs to shut this down and determine what's going on and determine what needs to happen to get the structure back open.
It's been a little over 3 years, January 28th, 2022, when the Fern Hollow Bridge collapsed, and obviously that's first and foremost what we're trying to avoid here as they go around. And different municipalities, the city, the state, the county, it depends on which bridge it is, right? Who's responsible, correct?
Yes, ultimately the bridge. I don't know who owns the HOB lanes. My suspicion it is PennDOT, I suspect.
Yes.
The owner of that particular bridge. But ultimately the inspection process is still overseen by PennDOT, regardless of who the owner is.
So you're talking about, let's talk about all the bridges around Schenley Park. A bunch of those have been closed for a while. You ought to know this, being at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yes, I do. I don't take those bridges. I live in East End, but yes, absolutely.
You can't get there from here. One of them says all bridges are closed ahead. Do we have any idea when we're going to fix all these bridges?
Do we have any idea when we're going to have the resources to do so? Obviously, we have limited resources to maintain and to fix bridges. When we have situations like we have in Schenley Park, obviously those go to the top of the pile. And as a result, some other bridges that require attention get knocked down the pile a little bit. The priority falls. I don't know because of the changes in the Schenley Park bridges situation, where the first one was closed and then later the second. I'm not exactly certain what the time frame on that is at the moment.
One of the things that I was curious about in this report, by the way, that I was referring to is by John Shumway. You'll find it on the KDK TV website. He's at the end of it talking about, they're just now getting a look at this support column. They're taking the concrete off from the top of it to get a look at it, and they've got quite a job ahead of them to figure out what's going on, don't they?
Potentially. I mean, there's a lot of there remain a number of possibilities, and we can't discount that this is much, that is a little bit less of a structural issue, but because of the weather we've been having, the very extreme freezes and then thaws and whatnot, we could be also looking at issues associated with water ingress and the water freezing and thawing and damaging the concrete.
Well, the Panther Hollow Bridge was shut down, what, October 2024, due to structural concerns. I mean, these mm-hmm. issues just keep piling up, so... Go ahead.
Yeah, part of it is because we start looking following Fern Hollow. Needless to say, there was a lot of attention paid to starting to look at local bridges and see if there are other scenarios. And of course, the very first bridge that was looked at was shut down into Schenley Park. That's the Anderson span, and Panther Hollow followed. And so, It is good that we are looking at these things. We have had deferred maintenance, and in some cases, very no maintenance for decades. We do need to start looking at these things, and unfortunately, when you defer maintenance, eventually it comes back and piles up, and I'm afraid that that's what we're starting to see now.
I guess, Ken, a lot of people that are listening are probably disappointed to find out that our infrastructure dollars, all that money that was being spent, that wasn't being spent on things like this.
Well, I mean, frankly, you don't get your name on a bridge repair, and that's the responsibility that we have to improve infrastructure, to add new infrastructure as different needs, different demands arise. It's not like the older infrastructure, stuff that's already been built, goes away, and so we're constantly adding. We're very rarely taking away, removing infrastructure, in which case it just keeps compounding. And so if you do keep compounding, if you have one car, you have a certain amount that you need to spend on maintenance. And if you have four cars, you have a lot more to spend and a lot more time, and you're going to have fewer resources spent on each element. And unfortunately, that is sort of where we are at this point. And we are looking at infrastructure that is in the Fern Hollow case, not quite as old as some, but, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old.
Are they doing, the city of Pittsburgh and Allegheny County now, since Fern Hollow, a good job of inspecting these bridges?
I think they're more aware of it. I'll give you that. Nobody wants to be the inspector that missed something. And frankly, I think the fact that we are having the fact that we are talking about these things, the fact that occasionally structures are shut down on quite short notice, is an indication that we are doing, we're doing a good job at the inspection end of it. We're finding the problems. Hopefully we will find all of the existing problems.
All right, Professor, thanks for your time this morning.
All right, thanks much.
You got it. Professor Kent Harries, University of Pittsburgh Civil Engineering, and he is known around the country as an expert in bridge structure.
Well, he sure sounds like one.
Yeah, and there was a hint of frustration, I guess, to some degree. The reality is so many bridges around here keep up.
Yeah, his analogy about the cars having one or four, I think that's a great analogy. And so many, we have so many bridges here. I mean, we're called the city of bridges, right?
Right.
So it stands to reason that a lot of bridges that were built in the same generation are going to be needing attention at the same time.
And we're going to get more on this particular situation that did develop over the weekend with this bridge, the HOV lanes over Route 28. It's going to be a major issue for many, and we'll get you details coming up right after the top of the hour. With the KDK Radio Storm Center, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van, Butler Transit Authority, and McVeigh Plumbing and Heating. This story, as you see the video of those columns that support the bridges that we're talking about when it comes to the HOV lanes.
No, I didn't.
They are, when you see it, you're going, oh, you can see the column, like a Roman column. It's mm-hmm. round, and there's a crack. You could see the crack that's vertical.
Okay.
And that's problematic. And then the deterioration of the concrete to where you're seeing the rebar.
Okay. That's disturbing.
Well, that's apparently...
And it may be okay. It just looks bad.
Yeah. And obviously, first and foremost, you don't want to have a Fern Hollow bridge collapse repeat.
Please, no.
And with all these tremendous, you know, issues we have with bridges and funding.
The upside is they're looking, right? We found it before it turned into a bigger problem.
So we're going to get some more details on that coming up here in our next hour. And also, want to talk this morning with Lenny McAllister. Will join us in our 8 o'clock hour. It's a lot on the radar. A very contentious meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky and Donald Trump in the Oval Office with a whole group of people. I mean, there was the vice president was there.
Oh, and the Secretary of State. There were officials from Ukraine. And then there's a whole gaggle of reporters.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very open and raw discussion. And so after that, Zelensky went, he was invited to meet with European leaders and just kind of that. And then tomorrow night, the president will address a joint session. This is not a State of the Union.
Oh, it's not.
It's not. It's a, you know, kind of an update on what's transpired so far and where President Trump wants this thing to go. So that's coming.